Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, June 7th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the second Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well, and I pray our time together will be a time of revitalization, a time to reconnect with those things that are first and best in our lives. And so with that, let's begin as we begin around here by taking in a big, deep breath. Let's do that together. Draw that breath in and hold on to it. Don't just hold it, savor it. Name it as a gift. And then let go of it. And then take in another big breath. And as you hold that breath, and as you release it, and as you inhale again, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that are best, that fill you with light, a sense of love and goodness. Call those people to mind, see their faces, see that place. Consider the opportunities that you've had that are before you and name them all as gifts, gifts from God. Perhaps open your hands as wide as they will go. Extend your arms as far out as you can reach. Turn your face toward the sky. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Rejoice in the Lord, O people of God. Let our praise rise with joy and gratitude. We sing to the Lord, for God's word is true, and all God's works are faithful. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by God's breath, all creation came to be. We stand in awe before the Creator, whose steadfast love fills the earth. The plans of nations may come and go, but the purposes of the Lord stand forever. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord, the community God has called and claimed. Come, let us worship the Lord with gladness. We will praise God's holy name with joyful hearts. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev.
Let's pause for a moment and pray. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you, we pray, and we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together and to consider this your good and living word, to lean in and listen for your voice, to discern your truth and your love. And we pray for some help in this endeavor. We pray, God, that you would come alongside us, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and distraction, that we could find ourselves in a place of stillness before you in this word, so that we could truly hear what you're saying to us. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, today I want to begin by asking you to think about something, or a few things. Primarily, what do you want and where are you going? No matter where you are on the spectrum of life or age, do you have a sense of calling? Something that seems to be out in front of you, pulling you along, pulling you toward itself. That might be education, that might be in relationship, that might be with your physical location, the place you call home. But is there something that feels compelling? Not like a to-do list, not that you have to go to the doctor's office on Wednesday, or you're going to go grocery shopping on Friday, or you've got a meeting on Tuesday. Not those kind of things. But more at a soul level, something that compels you. And it might be something that you've been thinking of for a while, or this might cause you to reflect on a moment in your life where you made a big decision. And it wasn't like there was a clear map, and you'd done your five-year plan, and you'd run the profit and loss analysis on the thing. It was more instinctive, more intrinsic. Just want you to hold that thought in mind as we begin to look at Abram, this story in Genesis, the stories that come before the story we start today. In the 12th chapter of Genesis, we have a shift in the Genesis narrative. Verses 1 through 11 are kind of an origin story. How did we get here? 1 through 11 are the stories of Adam and Eve and that moment of transgression, the fall, the eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, how that caused a disruption in the relationship between the human beings and God, Adam and Eve and one another, and the human beings and creation, and how God deals with that by casting them out of paradise, clothing them, and then sending them out to work by the sweat of the brow and the pains of labor. And so they go. And first we meet that they have two sons, Cain and Abel. The boys grow. There's a deep jealousy between the two of them, a jealousy that consumes Cain to the point where he murders his brother. God calls Cain out on his transgression and deals with him rather mercifully, I believe. While there is consequence for his action, God also offers him protection. Cain then goes forth from that moment. He eventually founds a city, which becomes a great city. And the descendants of Cain, it's peculiar and it's very human. They're very innovative. Some are musicians. And they are, at one level, very brilliant and at the same time quite evil and murderous. There are even some that boast about their debauchery and their murderous ways. And this only gets worse and worse to the point where this created order is spiraling out of control. And the most merciful thing God can do is to end it because he sees where it's going. Now he surveys the landscape. He identifies one, Noah, who has enough of the good in him that God knows he can work with Noah. God knows Noah will be obedient to the point where he takes on a project that he's commissioned by God to take on, to build an ark, an enormous boat, in which he will house the remnants of creation as God does the thing he's going to do, which is drown the world in a flood and start over. So that event happens. The waters recede. The family comes off the boat. And the story continues. Among Noah's sons is one named Shem. Shem has offspring. Eventually, one of those offspring is Abram, the man we meet today. And then in the 11th chapter, we have this peculiar story. It's about this human tendency, these human beings equipped with the knowledge of good and evil, having enough of the divine in them, but then they exploit that for their own, to bring power and glory and honor and exploitation for their own personal gain. And in that time, there was an innovation that doesn't seem like a technological advancement to us, but it was a big deal then. They had the brick. And with the brick, they could build all kinds of very sturdy buildings, and they could build them quickly. And so a few of them take it among themselves to think, with these bricks, we could build a tower to the heavens and become like God, become gods. And again, there's this moment where God sees this and he has to stop the building project. He has to stop them in their unified language. And he scatters them. And in this instance, with the scattering and the confusing of the language and the halting of the building project, he doesn't offer them anything else. And that's the story that leads us to where we are today. I hope that wasn't too long a journey. And now we have Abram, a descendant of Noah. Abram in conversation with God. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." And I want to pause and really emphasize this last this last part of the sentence. I will bless you and make your name great, comma, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, again, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is a big commissioning, a big promise, and it doesn't come with a lot of detail. But it fills Abram's heart to the point where he obeys. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they'd acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Let's pause there. In and of itself, it's just the relaying of some information. Out of the context of everything that follows from chapter 12 to the end of Genesis in chapter 50, we have the story of how this plays out. But what about for us today, as people of this time and place trying to make sense of our lives and the world around us, wondering if God might speak to us, wondering if this blessing that the Bible speaks about is available to us, this kind of relationship that Abram seems to have with God is available to us. And what I hear God speaking to us through the words of Scripture is yes. Listen to me. Be obedient to God. And sometimes to our contemporary ears and our fiercely independent sense of self, the notion of obedience can seem confining. Right? We are free human beings, free to express ourselves, to speak freely, and to kind of we're told to do whatever we want, which is the story of chapters 1 through 11. I'm pretty good at this. I make a pretty good buck at this. People really like me. I love the adoration and the status and the position. But that's not what God has informed us to do. At the very beginning of the story, in the creation of all that is good and beautiful, God's commissioning to the human beings, I think the biblical word that they use is dominion, but I think stewardship is better, is to live in right relationship with what I've made. Human to human, human within nature. And to listen for my voice and to seek my counsel. Abram seems to be in that place where he can hear God's voice, respond to God's calling, and to leave something that appears to be prosperous, comfortable, and familiar. It is the place of his people. But he's not to take it, all of that, for himself and just live out the rest of his days in a quiet comfort. God puts a challenge before him. And there's some notoriety God says that he will express, but that's not the point. The point that is, through you, others will be blessed. That if you will listen to me, if you will do what I say, spend some time in thoughtful consideration and prayer, Remember who you are. Learn from the mistakes of the past. And with that knowledge, and with a heart that seeks to bless, then you go. Which I guess takes us back to where we began. These things that occupy our hearts and minds, our hopes and dreams and ambitions, and discerning among them divine calling. That if indeed these things that fill our hearts and minds with a sense of pursuing something new, starting something, maybe ending something, relocating, who are they for? And if in the answering of who they for, who are they for, is it just me? Or is there a blessing for others? If I'm setting out to start a business or put something new out into the world, is it simply, is my only motivation to make as much profit as I can? If I'm seeking to correct course on my business, is it simply about how much I can take or how much I can give? This opening book of the Bible tells us so much within the narrative itself, within this telling of the story of itself. But when we spend time with it, and I strongly encourage you to spend some time in the book of Genesis, to listen for God's voice, to learn the lessons of the past, apply them to our lives, help them to nurture our faith. Because throughout this telling of this story in Genesis, we encounter a God that never gives up on us. Even when we screw it up, God makes provision and makes a way and promises a wounded healer, a savior that will be stricken, who shows us exactly the way. This one Jesus who himself says of himself, "I am the way." And so whatever it is you might be contemplating, whatever sense of call to go into a place, into a relationship, into an opportunity to which God is calling you, maybe partially for a sense of some self-satisfaction, but in the achievement, in the self-satisfaction, in the blessing, to bless the world, to be as a sign to all that you encounter and everyone you meet, that there is a God who is real, who has breathed into us the breath of life, a divine breath, a kind of breath that no other creature has. And in that, there is great inspiration and courage and strength that will help you and guide you and protect you and forgive you as you step forward into this new thing that God has placed on your heart. It is tremendous good news, to which we can say, Amen. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Judah, and Joseph, and Moses, and Aaron, God of disciples and apostles, God of the unnamed faithful, it is to you, O God, that we pray. And we come to you in faith and humility. We come to you in confession as we're reminded this day of the sins of our ancestors. We know too that we are sinful, that we have been disobedient. We haven't listened to you. Well, in this moment, we confess that. And we turn our attention toward you. And we ask for your forgiveness, as you have promised. And in the assurance that that grace and forgiveness has been received, we call to you and we pray over this, your good world, the world that you made and declared good. That you would lift up among us people of good faith and good character who can respond to your calling. And maybe that person is us. Bless us with the faith and the courage and the vision and the prayer life to listen to you and to respond to your calling and your sending. We pray, bless those in positions of power and influence. We pray your blessings upon those we meet on the street, many of whom we would just call strangers, but they're not strangers to you. Help us to see them as you see them. Help us to understand that they are family and to treat them as such. God, you know the things that we keep in our hearts, the joys and the concerns. And sometimes we make a formal prayer list for people we're concerned about or opportunities that are coming our way. Sometimes it feels just more like worries. Help us to convert our worries into prayer, to take all of it to you. And in this moment, we seek to give all of it to you, these prayer lists, these joys, these concerns, these worries. We hand them all over to you. We pray that you would consider every word. And as we do that, we sit silently together so that we might hear your voice. We might be blessed with the sense of your presence among us. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. We thank you for joining us in the peace and quiet. Help us to make space for you and each and every day. And God, we pray that you will hear us as we celebrate an inheritance of our faith, a prayer that you taught the first disciples. Hear us, God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that you will do so with a renewed sense of God with us, a God that is for us, a God that is pulling us toward himself, leading us into new opportunities, new ways to love and serve God through our lives, with our prayers and celebrations. The God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.